No Monday last week because it was a holiday. Hainsey, it's been 2 weeks. You must be wound up. All kinds of hot takes. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I missed you last week. How are things? How are things going in the Pinder household?
Well, it's a busy household. One of the maniacs is running, and the other is set on having tantrums. So between the two, it's a hands-full operation. It's like playing net for the Flames against the Oilers. It's a very busy job.
Oh, ouch. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. How about that? Could you give a few more breakaways away to that team, boys? That was a bit of a scary opening pair, wasn't it?
Well, I gave you a whole new appreciation for how good Connor McDavid is. You know, we saw him once last year live at the Saddle Dome. Yeah, well, I mean, they certainly had lots of certainly video footage to weigh into and to dig into as to how not to try and stop him. So maybe they took some learnings there. But a good player, and you know, he certainly was the big difference maker in that. Well, he wasn't the only difference maker, but he was. And he's an impressive talent, and he's going to be someone that's going to be a thorn in the side of the Flames for a long, long time, sadly, if you're a Flames fan.
Yeah, and the most frustrating part, and we'll say it and get it over with because everyone's thinking it, is this was not by great design that they got Connor McDavid. This was just more of the decade of futility from the Oilers, and it does sting. It's going to be good for the Battle of Alberta. It's certainly good for that city. They've got a new building already, and I'm sure the parade routes are being planned for the decades to come, but it does sting as a Flames fan, and yet it's going to force you to be better than you've been. They were awful defensively those first two games. I was shocked at how many times Brian Elliott was the only guy left around the puck. I mean, I don't know that he had two games all year with St. Louis last year like that.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like we, you know, post game on Friday, asked Elliott if he knew how many breakaways he faced, and kind of said, "I don't know if someone's tracking it, but it was, you know, it was a lot between breakaways and odd man rushes." And yeah, it's a different look for him for sure to kind of face those kind of grade A chances. Wasn't a stellar start to the season by any means. The team looks like a team that's still figuring things out. Looks like a team that has a new coach. Looks like a team learning new systems with new guys. And and the result was, you know, it was a bad weekend. The thing is, it's a bad weekend. What's a bad start? A bad start is winning two out of your first 11, like last year. It's two regulation wins in your first 19, like last year. 0-2-1 is a bad weekend. So we'll see where it goes. They got three home games this week, and then that's, you know, they have plenty of opportunity to turn the ship around.
Yeah, I'd agree, but I'll say this. If you find a way to not play well against Buffalo, who looks improved, and Carolina, who, you know, was much better than people thought last year, you're into the teeth of three games in a row against the Blues and Blackhawks.
Yep, no, for sure, and that's you know, and this is why this is a curious week to see whether they can kind of get it figured out here. Again, you know, like the practice time has been slim, three games in 4 days, right off of the hop with your best player signed the day before it all began. It's just kind of been a rush. So they've got some home cooking, and they have a chance to settle in. I'm sure these practices are going to be closer to 90 minutes than they'll be to 45 this week as they, you know, get things aligned, and maybe the best thing that could happen to this Flames team is watching Buffalo take the boots to Edmonton last night. Reminder that even without Evander Kane, even without Jack Eichel, this is not a team to take lightly, and you know, I don't expect they will on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you feel if you watch that, because that was a team that tore you apart twice, and now Buffalo handles them with relative ease, I suppose. But I think one thing we will expect is an honest look in the mirror from this Flames group moving into Tuesday night. They will not be looking past the Sabres, nor should they look past anyone at this point. They were one of the worst five teams in the league last year. But that said, I'm curious as to who will be watching this game from the press box, because Dennis Wiedemann did that on Saturday, and that happened to be the best defensive effort that the Flames put forth of their first three games. Would you suspect a back-to-back benching of or healthy scratching of Dennis Wiedemann here?
If I was the coach, I wouldn't go away from what they did on Saturday. It was the best of the three games, and it was a closer to the best type of defensive effort that they're looking for. Look, Dennis Weidman is in his final season. Up until this point, lots of contract left, and that's, you got to try and find ways to get this guy and be an effective part of that lineup because you have him, and he's going to be around. But this is the final year. He's going to get paid. If he's going to hurt your team in the lineup and you have better options that the way they're playing at this moment, then I don't know how you go back to him. It's not owed. So I would stick definitely, if they made the Kulak change on Saturday, I would not go away from that. And, I would probably, you were talking to Wills about goaltending. I'd go right back to Chad Johnson too.
I would too. Yeah, I would too. And I think all the arguments you made for Weidman staying in the press box should be the same reasons that Chad Johnson goes in net, because you're trying to win games. And yes, it's a small number, and no, it isn't for the rest of the year, but for the next game moving forward, the best results you had have been with Chad Johnson in net and with Dennis Weidman in the press box. So I wouldn't go away from either of those. And it doesn't mean it's the rest of the year. It doesn't even mean that both those guys won't be back against Carolina later in the week. But I would suggest that if you were trying to win a game right now, tomorrow night, those two decisions are ones that looked good in terms of what changed on Saturday.
Yeah, Chad Johnson was minutes away from a shutout. He looked very good in the shootout until that was the fourth shot that beat him. But I thought he looked very solid. If you go back with Chad Johnson on Tuesday night, I think who would scrutinize that decision? But if you go back to Brian Elliott and he has another tough game, you really set yourself up maybe for a really rocky marriage with your newly anointed number one goalie. So I think there's an opportunity here to go back with Chad Johnson, who, they purposely went after him because they didn't want just a guy sitting there and playing 15 games a year and opening the defensive gate all year. I mean, Chad Johnson came with he's coming off a season where he won 22 games.
Played 45 games, Buffalo.
Yeah.
Played more than he did last year.
Exactly. So I think that's but again, we don't know the tendencies yet. I mean, that's one thing that we're all trying to figure out. We got a pretty good sense of how Bob Hartley used to treat his goaltending. I think we're still learning on how Glenn Gullitson will approach that and whether it's one of these Wednesday in. Do you rotate? Is he looking for performance? Is he going to put some stock in? Good efforts is good enough to stay in. So these are the kinds of things and the tendencies that we'll get to know about the new Flames coach as we go, and what we did see, and again, if you're a fan, what you should be encouraged by is he tried something different on opening night with his defense pairings, and there's a few different ways you can look into what he tried there, but he was quick to abandon it, and he was quick to make a move like sitting a veteran in the press box. So again, I think the coach is also trying to kind of figure things out. When he came here, Glenn Gullitson promised everyone a clean slate. I think true to his word, he's provided that. But I don't think some of these guys have very long runways to kind of make good on that.
Yeah, I know. It's not the start he wanted, and it is going to be curious to see how he reacts to this, because he's brand new. We don't know his tendencies. And to be frank, his team hasn't played that well in front of him. And some of the decisions early looked silly, at least the Edmonton pairings thing, which is gone. So I know that the fan base, just judging from Twitter and the text line here, there's a lot of people that aren't happy. And I get that. They haven't won in three games. But he is a guy that's coached in this league in his 30s for a reason. And he's not a dummy. He is a good coach. But again, there's got to be a lot of pressure there. This is not what I'm sure he had in mind three games in.
No, so much of his system work is all based on cohesion, and they just haven't had that opportunity. Even work to, the power play. The power play, there's trying to work in a few new wrinkles this year. Well, again, now Olson Gaudreau's on your top unit, as he should be, but he hasn't been practicing there. They haven't practiced with that. So now Bennett moves to the second pairing or second power play unit, and they slide Gaudreau in. And so that is a work in progress. On the PK, again, it's they're learning a vastly different system, and it's going to take some time. They just didn't have enough reps. Training camp is what it is. There's a lot of guys winning battles. You know, Backlund and Frolik were at the World Cup, or Backlund then came and was injured. So they're trying to get some cohesion in lines and in pairings and in power play units. They just haven't had a lot of time to do that with this hectic start to the season and the way it all came together in training camp. So there is going to be a little bit of time. I think probably we're fooling ourselves if we thought they would just be able to hit the ground running. And I guess the silver lining here is if you look at the Pacific Division standings, well, where are the Kings? 0-2. Where Anaheim's still searching for their first win, and they've also played three games. And let's be honest, do we ultimately see Edmonton and Vancouver as the teams to beat to make the playoffs? You know, I'm not convinced that Edmonton's is a playoff team yet, nor am I convinced that Vancouver is a playoff team yet. So I think you got a bit of a break, and that Anaheim and LA are also kind of stumbling right here. And so, you know, kind of lots. So much time to go. It's a long season, but definitely there is got to be some urgency because of these three home games here, because as you said, the schedule gets very difficult very quickly with some tough road trips coming up.